Paulson Adebo's standout performance at New Orleans Saints training camp doesn't just mean good things for their defense, it means great things for their wide receivers as well. And is doubt around Jameis Winston at this point just willful dismissal? We got all of that and a little bit of Lanyap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into another episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you so much, as always, making Locked On Saints your first, second, sometimes third listen of the day. Appreciate you, as always, for finding us on all of your favorite podcast apps. We're on YouTube as well. And I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, your New Orleans Saints expert, credentialed member of the media. You can find me every day over at USA Today's Saints Wire, Tuesdays on Locked On NFL, and here with you on Locked On Saints every Monday through Friday. Now, this is our pre-recorded evening episode. We had our live episode earlier today, getting you caught up with all of the major observations around New Orleans Saints training camp day three. Make sure you don't miss that. But if you're tuning in for the big sort of deep dive into the news, we're going to jump into some conversation around Paulson Adebo's performance and what it means not only for the New Orleans Saints defense, but their wide receivers. We'll dig into Jameis Winston doubters, and we'll answer some of your questions from this afternoon's live stream, including the standout linebacker that no one's talking about. Well, we're going to get into all that, but I want to start off here with Paulson Adebo. Now, the big story, or one of the big stories outside of Taysom Hill's injury, which we just kind of don't know the full severity of yet at this time, but we'll continue to get some big looks at guys like Lucas Kroll, as well as, of course, Adam Trautman and Nick Vanette as we continue through camp here over the next couple of days, depending on how long Taysom Hill and Juwan Johnson continue to be absent. But the other big piece of news coming out of training camp today was simply that Paulson Adebo can't stop making plays. I mean, this guy has been making pass breakups and plays on the ball each and every day of camp so far, three straight days, three straight big plays at least. One a day. And that includes time where he's not only playing with the second team, but the majority of time playing with the first team in terms of team drills. And Friday was absolutely no exception at all, even though it was a run heavy day. Not a lot of passes thrown during Friday's practice, but Paulson Adebo, as well as Justin Evans, still finding ways to make their presence felt. I highlight Justin Evans and Marshawn Lattimore and Bradley Roby and all of those guys as well along the secondary, because this secondary looks like the strength of the defense, just like we expected going into training camp. Now, the defensive line can get there as well, especially if Shai Tuttle continues to step up and continues to play well on the interior defensive line, which he's looked good so far, but we'll really get a better look at that once the pads go on next week. But as of right now, the secondary is the strength of the defense. And that means that the strength of the offense gets to go up against the best part of the defense that it faces on a day-by-day basis during practice. So that brings us back to one of the things that Chris Richard highlighted a long time ago, which was iron sharpening iron. And that very idea was backed up by Marquez Callaway, who we spoke to after practice today, where he got to talk a little bit about how it is going up against this New Orleans Saints defense and how it helps to make them better on a day-by-day basis over in the receiver room.
I feel like earlier, I feel like our defense is one of the best in the league, and any way we can pick them, whether it's physical or mental, because I was asking Adebo questions about how he's playing and what he's looking at. So just things like that, you know, picking their brain. They know more about their stuff than we do. So same thing, they ask us stuff all the time when we take this outside release, why we're going this way when they're playing this situation. It's just like iron sharpening iron. We're here for them, they're here for us.
This brings us back to an earlier conversation that Chris Richard had with Aaron Summers on the New Orleans Saints official podcast a couple of months ago, where he talked about the New Orleans Saints team being an each one teach one team. That means that everyone learns from the coaches and everybody learns from each other as well. And you hear that right there from Marquez Callaway talking about how he'll go to Paulson Adebo and say, hey, why did you play this that way? Or Paulson Adebo or other defensive backs will come up to him and say, hey, why'd you take an outside release? A defensive back will continuously go to a wide receiver, or a wide receiver going to a defensive back and asking questions like that makes them better at their game. helps them understand what they're expecting or how to react to what the person opposite them is doing because of the work that they're putting in practice and the communication and cohesion and synergy they have with one another. That translates to the field on Sundays or Mondays or Thursdays. This is the type of work that's unique when it comes to the relationships that you build across the offense to defense line or even the special teams line. So this is really cool to hear from Callaway talking about sort of that iron sharpening iron approach and the fact that these guys all lean on one another to get better. Marco has also highlighted that he goes to Jarvis Landry to ask him questions. They'll sit in the film room and watch. You have to imagine the film room also becomes a collaborative opportunity when there are situations in which the entire offense or defense are in the same place where there's a little bit of, you know, mixing and matching and stuff like that for additional, I guess what the Arizona Cardinals would call independent study, for instance. So when they're doing all of that extra work off to the side, I'm sure that they do that through film as well. But this is what helps offenses and defenses get better. The New Orleans Saints have one of the best defenses in the NFL. Make no mistake about it. No, Tyrann Mathieu's not out there right now, but once he is, that only adds to the knowledge that these wide receivers get to pick when it comes to setting up, taking advantage of leverage, getting around, getting through, stacking, doing all the things that you have to do in order to win your leverage battle and win your coverage battle with a defensive back and vice versa. These defensive backs get to lean on guys like Michael Thomas and Marquez Callaway. Now they also get Jarvis Landry, Chris Olave that get to help them out there as well. So now you get that each one teach one, not just within the unit, but across the units as well, helping to make each and every one of them better. That's why performances like what Paulson Adebo and Justin Evans had to date, where they're breaking up multiple passes, they're making plays on the ball, they're reading, they're getting jumps, they're doing all the things that you expect to see defensive backs do at their highest level. That's why it's important in practice. It's not just good for the defensive backs and the defense that's making the plays. It's good for the offense that's trying to get better and the receivers that are trying to learn from their counterparts as well. So now when you've got guys like Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, and Chris Olave heading up your wide receiver room, and then other players like Marcus May, Tyrann Mathieu, Marshawn Lattimore, and Paulson Adebo, and CJ Gardner-Johnson heading up your secondary, how do you not get better on a down-by-down basis going up against those names and that amount of talent? Well, simple answer is it doesn't happen that way. You get better. That's exactly what the New Orleans Saints are going to be looking to do over the course of training camp heading into the 2022 NFL season. And it all gets better once Tyrann Mathieu hits the field. And of course, once Michael Thomas is participating in those team drills, all of which we expect and hope happen sooner rather than later. All right, y'all, coming up next, is the doubt around Jameis Winston just kind of willful dismissal at this point? Mark Ingram had some fantastic things to say about Jameis Winston, not just his leadership, not just his charm and charisma, but his work ethic and how he's improved on the field as well. We'll break all that down and have a nice little conversation about the expectations around Jameis Winston and the expectations he set for himself. We'll break all that down as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. And we get to do that every single Monday through Friday, thanks to our good friends over at Bet Online, who have odds up right now for 11 regular season games. Several different New Orleans Saints are in the conversation for end of year awards. So many different things that you can check out. But the New Orleans Saints right now still set to finish second in the NFC South. Do you feel like they could win this division? Well, that might be something you want to get in on a little bit of action with. You can do that today over at Bet Online. You can do that at the NFL, NBA, if you want to bet on some Pelicans-related props, odds, and lines. They've got that for you as well. And of course, there's MLB, NHL, college football, so much over on that Bet Online website, which you can access on your mobile device or your laptop, so you can check out all of the trends in action. And once again, that's Bet Online, where the game starts. All right, family, continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. Thanks again, as always, making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day. Every day, don't forget, we are here with you because it is the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Appreciate you, as always, for being here with us. As we go through our next segment here, what I want to discuss is sort of the what feels like willful dismissal of Jameis Winston's offseason and his work ethic and his work. I think there's clearly a lot of progress made in Jameis Winston's game. His focus on the short, quick passing game is something that he said he wanted to work on, and you see him working on it. The fact that he's out there working an hour and a half, 2 hours after every practice is palpable. I mean, that's a palpable example of how his work ethic is. He's very likely out there before anyone else as well, probably out there before I get there or any of the media gets there too. And it's not lost on his teammates. And I think that a lot of people maybe kind of assume that Jameis Winston is a likable guy because of his personality, which is true. He is a very likable person in terms of his personality. But what he's done on the field is more than enough when it comes to the New Orleans Saints teammates and the coaching staff around him to buy into him. So if there's still doubts around whether or not Jameis Winston can be a good quarterback in this New Orleans Saints system, especially after a 14 touchdown to 3 interception season last year, at this point, it's kind of just willful dismissal of what Jameis Winston has been putting on the map. We just heard from Marquez Callaway a moment ago. He kind of highlighted this in his presser as well, talking about, like, have you seen his workouts? Noting them as the best and worst things he's ever seen, workouts he's ever seen, and all that. Of course, everyone likes to crack jokes about what Jameis's workouts look like sometime. But it's not like Jameis is just making a decision to say, hey, I'm going to do this. He has trainers. He has people that are state of the art, that are doing state of the art things on the ideas on the forefront of sports science and sports fitness and all of these other things that are kind of instructing him in all this. It's not just him willy nilly saying, like, oh, I'm going to mess with the pool noodle today. Like, that's not the way that this works. And so it's interesting. And I don't think that we see this in New Orleans as much as we see it, or within the New Orleans Saints fan base as much as we see it nationwide, to where maybe people still would rather be informed by what happened in 2019 as opposed to what's happening in front of them right now, or even just what happened to them back in 2021 in last year's season, right? They're not even acknowledging that. They kind of just acknowledge 2019 and that's it. It's kind of the similar sort of mentality that people have around Michael Thomas, this idea that, well, Michael Thomas might be back for the New Orleans Saints, but is he going to be the Michael Thomas of 2019? Michael Thomas could have not injured his ankle in 2020, never missed any time at all. And here coming into 2022, no sane person would say that 2022's Michael Thomas is going to be 2019's Michael Thomas, especially when you have other weapons on the field like Jarvis Landry and Chris Olave. The expectations being based upon what's already happened, that's not really where we are here. That's not where the New Orleans Saints are. The New Orleans Saints expectations are based upon what they're seeing in front of them right now. And someone broke that down really, really well today. And it was Mark Ingram, New Orleans Saints running back, during his postgame presser. Here's what he had to say about how he has been impressed with Jameis Winston coming in and what he's been able to do so far in the New Orleans Saints offense.
I mean, Jameis is the guy, man. And, I think just his evolution as a quarterback in the league. I think his confidence in himself, his confidence in the system, confidence in his teammates, his ability to be a leader in and out the huddle, on and off the field. He cares about his teammates. He's smart on the field, making the right decisions, great arm strength, has all the intangibles you look for in a franchise quarterback. So to be able to share the huddle with him is something, it's a great opportunity, you know what I mean? It's something that I don't take for granted. So I think he'll continue to grow, and he'll continue to improve. He's a guy that's committed, dedicated, and makes a lot of sacrifices to be where he is now. And I'm sure he'll just continue to grow, continue to learn, continue to be better. And I'm looking forward to him having a great season this year.
I mean, that's Mark Ingram just off the cuff, just listing good things about his teammate, sure. But at the same time, there's real detail there in terms of the confidence that Jameis Winston has in himself, the confidence he has in the teammates around him, and in turn, the confidence that the teammates in the organization have in Jameis Winston. To an effect, that's where it all starts, isn't it? The mental side of the game, trust, an understanding of the scheme and the playbook. Mark Ingram talking about how smart Jameis is and how good he is in and out of the huddle in terms of a commanding leader. To a certain point, that's a huge part of what being an NFL quarterback is. Now, you have to be able to go out there and execute as well. And I think that there are some things early on in Jameis Winston's career that maybe, you know, were warranted in terms of your question marks or people's question marks around the idea of his decision making. But based on what we've seen so far in 2022's training camp and 2021 season, that seems to have gotten much better. And I don't understand the sort of desire in a way to dismiss that. So at some point, these national folks that are looking at the New Orleans Saints and saying, well, they'll only go so far as Jameis Winston can take them, aren't really considering how far Jameis Winston can take them. One of the things that Mark Ingram said was that this team has Super Bowl aspirations. You don't have Super Bowl aspirations as a team if you don't believe in the quarterback in front of you. And some of these folks are still making claims that Taysom Hill's contract is indicative of the fact that Jameis Winston, that the New Orleans Saints don't believe in Jameis Winston, or that Andy Dalton is indicative of the fact that the New Orleans Saints don't believe in Jameis Winston. Andy Dalton was asked today, what's your role in the New Orleans Saints team and on this roster? And what he said was that his role is to support Jameis Winston and help make him the best quarterback he can be. Not to take his job, not to compete for a starting role, none of that. So if there are people still trying to use Taysom Hill and Andy Dalton and this team's build and makeup as evidence against the idea that the New Orleans Saints trust Mark Ingram, Jameis Winston, I would highly, highly suggest trusting Mark Ingram over those folks. So coming up next here in just a moment, we're going to wrap up the show with your questions from our live show earlier today, including the standout linebacker that didn't really get a lot of attention going into training camp and is very soon going to be leaving people with no option but to say his name. We got that coming up for you as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. Let's get it, Houdat Nation. Wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints with your questions as we continue on with our training camp programming here on the show. Remember, we're doing live shows after every training camp session with a more in-detail, in-depth look at the two or three biggest stories of the day in a later episode, including also answering your questions from that live stream. So we're diving into some of your questions here. This first question is from Rose City D, who asks, how are the linebackers that the New Orleans Saints brought in looking, particularly number 58? So number 58, of course, is Eric Wilson, the New Orleans Saints veteran that they brought in, formerly of the, like, he was with the Chicago Bears, I believe he's 6 years in the NFL at this point. He got a lot of experience. He is the linebacker that not enough people, I think, talked about. I pegged him to make the roster going into 2022. And based upon what I have seen so far during training camp, nothing is changing my mind around that, at least as of right now. Now, we haven't gotten to see Pete Werner out on the field yet, so that means we're getting a good look at players like Eric Wilson, as well as, of course, DeMarco Jackson, Caden Ellis, Zach Bond, and others. But when you really look at Eric Wilson, I mean, this guy has the NFL experience, and it shows. He does a very good job at keying and diagnosing everything that's happening in front of him. He's got really good click and close ability. Click and close meaning that, like, the light switch kind of clicks, right? He sees what's happening and he's able to close on that ball carrier. So he sees things developing in front of him very quickly and he's able to get involved in that. Doesn't necessarily have the sideline to sideline ability of a Quan Alexander, who's now a New York Jet, or even a DeMarco Jackson, but it's not for any lack of effort and it's certainly not for any lack of his ability as a whole out on the football field. We've seen him in a couple of different spots amongst that second unit, playing in a couple of different responsibilities when it comes to linebacker, but so far, I really, really like what we've seen from Eric Wilson, number 58. And at this point, I still believe that he is going to be one of the linebackers to make the roster in 2022. Let's go to Eric Howard next, who asks, Ross, are they starting to get, or is special teams starting to take form yet? And if so, who is surprising you? So yesterday, in yesterday's practice on Thursday, they tried out 18 different players at Gunner, not including the reps that JT Gray took. So I guess 19 different players, but you know JT Gray is one of those guys. We also saw them spend a little bit of time on kick return coverage as well as kickoff coverage. I guess that's the same thing. But anyway, we're seeing them spend a lot of time there. And yesterday was really a big special teams day on Thursday. Friday had some special teams elements to it, but not as heavy as Thursday's was. So all of those things are starting to take shape. We saw John Parker Romo, the kicker number 15, who's there along with Will Lutz. I believe he went 5 for 5 or 6 for 6 yesterday during his kicks. We didn't really see anybody get after some field goals today. But yeah, there are certain parts of the room that are starting to take shape. We'll get a better idea of that as it continues to roll along. Somebody that has stood out to me in that role so far, though, is when they've allowed Taysom Hill to actually get downfield in special teams coverage. I know he's dealing with his injury right now, but getting him back on special teams is going to be massive for the New Orleans Saints, especially as they try to figure out who's going to be that gunner opposite JT Gray. I say as of right now, you can go ahead and pencil Taysom in as one of the players that's going to be involved in that competition, along with guys like Alante Taylor and Bryce Thompson, because when Taysom's screaming down the field coming right at you, he's proven that he can make a big impact on special teams that way. Next up, we go to Baldy B, who asks, is Tre'Quan Smith expendable? So I wouldn't say expendable. Look, remember, Tre'Quan Smith is the player right now outside of Michael Thomas on this roster at wide receiver that has the most experience in the system and is probably your best blocker at the position. if that is something that the New Orleans Saints value in 2022 under a Dennis Allen regime as much as they have valued since 2006 in the Sean Payton regime, then Tre'Quan Smith, no, is not expendable. And just because he's going to have some miscues and some issues here and there in terms of the passing game, if you're not really putting him out there for reps to throw the ball, that's not really that big of a deal to you because you already know that there's four or five receivers that are ahead of him when it comes to pass catching. And that includes guys like Deonte Hardy and Marquez Callaway, but of course, Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, and Chris Olave. There's just simply not going to be a lot of targets for a Tre'Quan Smith. So if Tre'Quan Smith makes the roster, it's dependent upon his ability or contingent upon his ability to be able to rise to the occasion and be utilized in other ways, including as a run blocker. So if the Saints value run blocking at the wide receiver position the same way this year as they have in the past, then no, he's not expendable. If they don't, then perhaps that means Tre'Quan isn't necessarily a lock for this New Orleans Saints roster. Let's get to King Arthur next, who asks, Ross, are you confident in the tight end room? So I am when Taysom Hill's involved in that conversation. I'm a little bit less confident in it when he's not, but I will say this. One of the things that Taysom Hill has been able to do that's been really unique is that he helps to make the rest of the tight end room better. Him as a person with quarterback experience, legitimate NFL starting quarterback experience, is able to pinpoint exactly what it is that a player is looking for, a quarterback is looking for from the tight ends in that tight end room when they're getting ready for a game or game planning or out on the field or during practice, all of that. That is invaluable information for those tight ends to have in their room at all times. That's really, really nice. So guys like Adam Trautman, Nick Vanette, Juwan Johnson, and you know even a guy like Lucas Kroll, right? They end up benefiting from what it is that Taysom brings from the mental side of the game and his understanding of what to do as a tight end with the quarterback perspective. The thing that is nice right now, though, I don't want to say is nice because obviously these two guys are dealing with injury, right? Taysom Hill, Juwan Johnson, both not participating in practice over the past couple of days. Well, Taysom kind of did yesterday. He was there for some of it, a good portion of it. But anyway, it does give you an opportunity to get a look at Lucas Kroll. And so far, what we've seen from him is really good. I mean, he does not move like a 6'6", 250-plus pound person. He moves like a smaller receiver, and that's good. He's also a very willing blocker. So just because he has the agility doesn't mean that he plays scared or plays skinny. He plays big. And he has the ability to turn some things upfield, right? You can see now, you can find the clip on Twitter and social media, all of that, of Andy Dalton hitting Lucas Kroll on that crossing route on the right or left sideline and him being able to turn it up and pick up some additional yardage behind it. And that wasn't him on, you know, being guarded by a rookie like DeMarco Jackson or somebody unfamiliar with the system at all. He was guarded by Caden Ellis, who's been in the system for a while and has shown his propensity for pass protection. So this was, or pass coverage. So getting to see Lucas Kroll as much as we have, getting to see Adam Trautman as much as we have is kind of the benefit to this timeline presently, although you hope that Taysom Hill and Juwan Johnson get back in the room as quickly as possible, back out on the field as quickly as possible, because then I'll feel much better about that tight end room. And we'll wrap up with
what is
Apollo number one. How's Andy Dalton doing? Haven't heard much about him, and I assume that he's taking mostly second team snaps. That's correct. He's taking strictly second team snaps. He's not getting involved in first team at all. That's all Jameis Winston. I spoke a little bit about the relationship that Andy Dalton has made with his role and with Jameis Winston, of course, as being somebody that's there to help support the young quarterback and help make him the best quarterback that he can be. So really like what we've seen from Andy Dalton so far. He's learning a lot, and this is his sixth straight year learning a new offense. So that's a lot. You got to be a really smart guy to be able to do that. And those smarts, that intelligence, that ends up impacting and helping Jameis Winston as well. Because when Jameis Winston comes off the sideline on game day or comes to the sideline on game days after an offensive possession, Andy Dalton and him get to sit down and talk about what they're seeing from different perspectives. That's invaluable information, just like what we talked about Taysom Hill brings to the tight end room, Andy Dalton brings to that quarterback room. All right, family, I will see you tomorrow live after our Saturday practice. Remember, first practice will be, this is the first practice that will be open to fans. So we'll be tweeting during all of it. If you can't be there, make sure you're following along on Twitter so you can keep up to date with everything going on around New Orleans Saints training camp day 4. If you are going to be around, make sure that you say hi if you see me. And of course, we'll be here live with you right after that practice or soon after that practice to give you all of the observations that you need so that you know what's going on with your New Orleans Saints in training camp. Thank you very much. As always, make a Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Next, go and check out that Locked On NFL podcast so you can figure out what else is going on around the league, all in less than 30 minutes. I appreciate you as always making me a part of your day, a part of your routine. If you see me, say hi. And of course, I will see y'all tomorrow. But for everything you need in between these episodes, make sure you follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up, learn how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. And trust you, that nation, I'll holla at you.